Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for a Giants report with Paul Dottino, and it's brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. By Bud Light, when game days ago, there's a Bud Light there. By Geico, saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So what are you waiting for? Get a quote at geico.com. And by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit one of their 80 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, or you can book online at handandstone.com. Matt Casey is at the controls. Locked and loaded is Dottino. How you doing this morning, Paul? After that buildup, no Paul. Where's Paul? Matt, help me. Something happened to Paul Dottino. Well, I can ask my first question that I was going to ask Paul, and hopefully he'll be there by the time I get it out. The Giants, you know, PR machine through last week had a lot of things about the Giants' history with backup quarterbacks. And it's interesting, and Matt, just tell me when Paul is there. And it's interesting because their record against backup quarterbacks is not all that good. And we're trying to analyze, well, why, what happens. And the bottom line is that you have a lot of film on certain quarterbacks. I mean, the starting guy you see all the time, you know what he can do. And in Joe Burrow's case, you know, number one draft pick, you see his strengths, you see his weaknesses, you can scout it. First year quarterback, there are bound to be some Achilles heels, some flaws in the game, and you pick them out and you try to exploit them. But then at this point in the season, you come up against a guy like, you know, guys you've never heard of, probably Brandon Allen and Finley, and you go, who are these guys? And they bring different skill sets to the table. And if your head coach is an innovative guy, a guy that is able to come up with different schemes for different talents at quarterback, it can really screw you up because you're figuring, okay, this is what they've done their whole season. You know, this is the formations they do. This is how you tell your defensive guys, when you see this, this is how you react. And then you see a completely different quarterback in there with completely different skill sets, and it changes. I heard a rumble down there. Is that Paul Dottino? Paul, you there?
Hello, Richard. Somehow I was caught in the middle of an electronic tornado. Heard a lot of... I hear you.
Well, I think you just were caught in another one because I lost you there for a second, too. So I've been watching the show Fargo, and a couple of episodes ago, there was a huge tornado in Texas, and the rabbi, one of the leading characters, got caught up in the tornado, and you see him flying up the tunnel, and you don't know whether he's going to live or die again.
But okay.
Hopefully we'll get through with you, and you'll
yes,
survive.
Anyway, so, Paul, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. You've probably heard some of my discourse about backup quarterbacks, but tell me some of the pitfalls and some of the things that the Giants especially have to worry about because, you know, they may not say it, but this is a trap game. This is a game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Seahawks, two tough teams, a team you're expected to win coming off a bye. This is a dangerous game for them.
Well, it would be. Circumstances, I would say that Joe Judge and his staff are quite different than what we've seen around the Giants' parts for the last several years. These guys are ultra prepared. They're ultra buttoned down. They have put these guys' noses to the grindstone since when they came back Monday off the bye week. I would be very surprised if they came out flat and played an A against C. That is no Judge way. I think one of the other things the Giants have in their back pocket is that if Brandon Allen is the quarterback, and all indications out of the reports in Cincinnati are that it will be, Taylor has been playing coy. News for the Giants is that Brett Bielema, who is their defensive senior assistant, happened to be the head coach at Arkansas when Brandon Allen was the starting quarterback for him for 3 years. So the unknown factor about a backup who you may not have film on, who you may not have played against, is kind of going to be, let's just say, wilted away, because Bielema knows everything there is to know about this guy. Not to mention that Yap, the Giants' corner, also played with Allen in Denver last year. So the familiarity is going to help the Giants a lot if Allen is, in fact, the guy.
What about coming off the bye? Now, the last two games, you know, they played, against the last two teams, the Eagles and the Washington team, whatever we're calling them these days, were coming off a bye, and the Giants jumped on them. Is that a concern? I know preparation and everything else, but do you kind of lose a little bit of that edge having that week off?
I think, as Coach Judge said this week, it's kind of 50. You know, it's easy to say after the fact, you know, that if a team didn't play well, it must have been the bye. Judge is of the philosophy, only his first year as a head coach in the NFL, so we really don't have a track record to go on based on his ink. But in his prior experience as an assistant, and also all his time with Saban, and as you know, necessarily play every week either, that it's more about the way you prep for practice that particular week of the game as to the week prior when you had the bye. That if you get into it right away, you focus, you practice, you rip that rust off from the get-go, it's that week of practice that reflected more in the game that you play as opposed to what happened really 2 weeks ago. I understand his philosophy. We're going to see if walks the walk. But at this point, say I have a lot of belief in Joe Judge.
Well, you and I talked last week about this, or 2 weeks ago about this, in the offensive line, which has been definitely playing better. I mean, you've seen some terrific runs. They seem to be blocking better and everything else. And we talked about the Colombo firing and everything else on that. And apparently Joe Judge is going to stick to his guns and rotate guys in and out of there and make sure everybody gets a chance to play.
Well, you know, it's worked so far. Richard, we talk all the time about there's more than one way to skin a cat. Truth of the matter is, it may be unconventional. It may be something most people, and I understand it. I'm old school. Old school says you don't do that kind of thing. But look at the success. The Giants have been able to get guys in, you know, 12, 15 plays, two series, three series, whatever it is. And this, the progress of this offensive line has not been.
I think maybe we lost Paul this time, and it's going to be Paul. Okay.
Hello?
Something is going. Yeah, you're back. Okay.
Okay, Richard, I have no idea what's going on.
You have been cutting out left and right, and it's really hard to carry on a conversation. We'll try, but if it continues, we're going to have to just move on.
I got you. I would say this. With the way the Judge has done this, and it is unconventional, you have to say, look, the improvement has been very, 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 very strong over the course of the season, from the time they started to where they are today. The offensive line looks like night and day. So who's to argue with the results, even though they may be unconventional? That's the bottom line.
Okay. Well, in with this offensive line, we've seen Wayne Gallman break off a bunch of really, really nice runs. And not just because of the line, because he's turned something into nothing. He's been breaking tackles. He's been cutting in, you know, very deceptive ways. Are we seeing the blossoming of this guy, or is this just, well, you know, once Saquon comes back, Gallman is on the scrap heap? How do you see that?
Well, we have no idea what Barkley is going to come back as. Is he going to be Saquon Barkley? Is he going to be something less than that? You know, that's too early to predict. Wayne Gallman, by the way, is going to be a free agent at the end of this season. So that's a two-way street. Whether the Giants want him and whether he wants them is another chapter to this story. But there's little question, Richard. He is running as hard and maybe harder than we have ever seen him before, you know, in his 4 years in the league. He still has some speed and some jukeability, but he's really done a good job of running straight ahead between the tackles. A little bit more of an inside runner than I think a lot of us expected when he got to the NFL. And it's easy to forget that at Clemson, he was really a touchdown monster. I mean, they always went to him down at the goal line when he was with the Tigers, and he would just plow it in there all the time. We just didn't expect to see that when he got to the NFL. He is showing that now. It's kind of like a throwback to his old Clemson days.
Yeah, no question about that. And, you know, Barkley will be what Barkley is. I mean, they're certainly not going to give up on him after drafting him number two overall, so... we'll see what the rotation is when and if he comes back healthy. Cincinnati, you know, you look at this team and, you know, there were such expectations and Burrow was playing so well. But I think it kind of underlines everything we've said about quarterbacks. You know, you throw quarterbacks into a bad offensive line and even the guys on TV were saying this kid's going to get killed. And yes, it was a freak accident. It was something that happens on the football field. But man, it's so dangerous to put young quarterbacks, inexperienced quarterbacks, behind lines that just aren't there.
Well, think about this for just a second, Richard. He's throwing the ball over 40 times a game. That's a recipe for disaster, yeah. Even if you've got a veteran back there. Never mind a young kid who's only a few months out of school. It's just not a good idea. So the offensive line is a mess. I mean, he's been hit over 75 times this season, never mind the sacks. Just think about the hits. So it's, you know, yeoman's effort for him to try to do what he was able to do and continue to stand in there and take the punishment and then unfortunately get hurt against Washington last week. But the bottom line is, if you're the Bengals, and I guess business also comes into this, your offensive line is really in shambles. You don't have much of a running game now because Mixon is out on injured reserve with a foot problem. Bernard, who unfortunately is a really good pass-catching back for them, is now, you know, coming off of a concussion. So they may be down to Samaje Perine, their third-string running back against the Giants. They've got terrific wide receivers. And I guess, you know, if you're Zach Taylor, you're thinking to yourself, well, what's the only way I have a chance to do anything? And that would be, okay, rely on the arm of Joe Burrow. The problem is, what is the price that you pay for that? And we now see it, that the accumulation of batterings winds up resulting in him getting hurt. Whether or not, you know, that knee was already somewhat hurt, who knows? That's impossible to say. It could have just been a freak tackle by Allen the other day. But eventually, this was probably more likely than not going to happen because the guy was just getting absolutely manhandled every single weekend.
Paul, Graham Gano, you know, who's in the COVID protocol, he's back practicing. Do you expect him to play and be effective? I mean, he's been great all year.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. He didn't kick yesterday during the media portion of practice when we saw him. They were using Ryan Santoso. I'm kind of iffy on it. I think, you know, today we don't get to see practice, the media, on Saturday. The Giants will have a walkthrough practice before they head to Cincinnati. So what's going to happen today? Is he going to get out there and kick today? Because I'm sure the judge is going to want him to kick, you know, in a workout before he makes a decision. Or will judge just say, you know what, put him on the plane, let him go, and then have him kick Sunday morning before the game. he wouldn't give us, you know, his details on how he was going to approach this. I'd say it's probably more likely Santoso kicks, to be perfectly frank, because I did not seek a no kick yesterday.
Okay, I want you always to be perfectly frank with me. That's important. Now, the other thing you probably heard during the update, the NFL is closing down things Monday, Tuesday, except for the teams that are playing.
Yeah.
Now, people who, you know the way the NFL works, usually Tuesday's an off day. Monday is, you know, come and get some therapy, whatever. Do you see this making an impact at all in terms of game plans, playing, and everything else? Or is it just kind of like, okay, we're just a slight adjustment because Wednesday's the game plan day anyway? What do you think?
Well, you know what, Richard? Earlier this year, the NFL put into its protocol that you were not allowed to bring your players into the facility on Monday either. So they have been off, the players, that is. They've been off in terms of the physicality of coming to the office on Mondays and Tuesdays all season, basically. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It's just another small pothole that they're going to have to navigate. The coaches are still going to be there. They're still going to have their virtual meetings. They'll still be up all late on Monday, you know, doing their game plans. I don't think it's that big a deal. And quite honestly, whatever they've got to go through, everybody's on board with trying to finish this season out and getting your 16 games in. So, you know, deal with the hurdles. Deal with the mountains you have to climb. If you can get the 16 games in and get to a playoff situation, that's really the ultimate goal here, no matter what kind of headaches you have to endure.
I'm thinking the odds are there might be a week 18. Not every team, but, I mean, we're running out of bye weeks.
Yeah.
And you can't play games on Tuesday all that often. So, I mean, if this thing does hit a couple of teams and it expands – there may have to be for some teams, you know, an extra week tacked on to the end of the season, especially if a playoff spot is involved.
That has been discussed, Richard. So, you know, that should not be a surprise to anybody if they've got to have a weekend of makeup games. Look, somebody in the league told me a few weeks ago, too, don't be shocked if it gets so bad that they could, in theory, push the pause button and actually put a hold on the schedule for maybe 3 weeks and try to get everybody, you know, quarantined, you know, for the 10 to 14 day period, then have a week's worth of practice and then pick up the schedule and resume and try to go forward as normal as possible from there. So there, an interruption or a pause, if you will, is still something that they would consider in order to try to make sure that they're able to get everything in.
Wow, a week without football, now that we're addicted again, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we're back into it. Paul, thank you, and we'll see. I mean, this is a game where they tie for the division lead if they win with a Washington team, and, you know, it's kind of fruitless to go through the schedule. I'll do that by myself later, but, you know, to me, the team with the easiest schedule is probably the Cowboys, but, you know, watching them play the other day, I can't see them finding a way.
There's no doubt. Look, any of these teams, you know, could win it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You can't really count anybody out at this point, no matter what they may look like on a particular Sunday. It is a sprint, and everybody has a realistic chance to be the one at the end, and that includes the Giants. And, you know, after a month or so ago when everybody was talking in these parts about, oh, the Giants or Jets are going to be fighting for the number one pick, I thought that was a laughable concept then, and it's an even more laughable concept now.
Yeah, Giants might be fighting for a whole lot more. We'll see. Okay, Paul, talk to you next weekend. Thank you.
You got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.